Good afternoon again, everyone. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. It's good to see smiles. Smile doesn't cost anything, does it? It's like prayer. You know, prayer doesn't cost anything. Lord's blessed us so many good things, hasn't he? He sure has. Be much in prayer tonight for Brother Jim and Amanda as they travel back tonight. I'm pretty sure they're probably on their way home now. So remember them. Pray one for another this week. You know, the Bible said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. So be much in prayer for one another. And pray for your church and pray for the leaders of our country. You know, our country's in a terrible shape. I know you hear that all the time, and I guess we hear it so much that we sort of fail to believe it. But it is the truth, isn't it? You know, there's so much going on in the world today that is wrong and sinful. And a man out in my shop the other day, we were talking about it, and he said, "What's going to happen?" I said, "Well, the Lord's going to come back." I said, "He's going to straighten all this out. He's not going to just straighten out everything that's here. He's going to take care of everything, all the sin, all the problems." And I'm glad we got a better place to go. You know, I preached on heaven here not too long ago, and I said, when I get there, I'm not coming back. I ain't never talked to anybody who went to heaven, never came back yet. It's such a wonderful place. Everything is so grand over on that side, they just stay, don't they? It's called paradise, isn't it? So I'm looking forward one day to going there. I had an uncle one time, so he asked me, he said, "Why do you want to go to heaven?" He said, "You ain't never been there. You don't know what it's like." I said, "That's one reason I want to go. I don't know what it's like. You know, I've seen things here, and a lot of things that didn't really satisfy me. Some have. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to be satisfied. And there'll be no disgruntling over there, no complaining. Everything's going to be right, and I'm going to be happy over there," as the song said. Let's turn tonight in our Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Getting silent now. I don't hear the pages turning. Time to read, isn't it? I want to read one verse of scripture, excuse me, tonight. Chapter 3, verse 11. The great apostle Paul said, "For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is in Christ Jesus." How true that is today. You know, when we think about foundations, we all need a good foundation. We think about building a big building or something that's going to last, something that's going to stand for a while and take the storms that come and go. And I haven't figured out yet how some of these buildings stand the tornadoes and hurricanes and storms that come, but they're well built. And if you and I today are going to get along in this world, we've got to have a good foundation. And I'm glad tonight to tell you that we can have that foundation. And that foundation, as Paul said, is Jesus Christ. No other foundation, he said, that man could lay than is laid, Jesus Christ. So we see that the reason that we dig deep footers in the ground, the reason we dig down on solid, and the reason we pour wide footers, now, I think a wide footer holds a whole lot more than a narrow footer. Me and a building inspector got into that one time. He said, "It don't have to be but 18 inches, and you've got it out here 24 or 30, ever what it was." I said, "The wider it is, the more it'll hold." And I don't know whether that's true or not, but anyway, that was my philosophy. But I do believe tonight, if we're going to really accomplish things and get anywhere, we got to have a good foundation. You know, organizations are built upon good foundations. Nations are built upon good foundations. Babylon was founded on lust and wealth. And you know what happened to Babylon? Babylon fell. Why? Because it was founded upon the wrong foundation. We look at America tonight for just a moment. You know, we talk about America today, and we talk about the principles of our country, and we talk about how far our country's gone from where it once was, and that's true tonight. I agree with that. Our country's not where it once was, but you know something? Our country was founded on a good foundation. Our country was founded by people who wanted to serve God and worship God and put God first. And you know how sad it is today, but we're losing that in this country we live in. You know, they're wanting to take in God we trust off of our money today. And you shake your head and say, "Oh, it never happened." Yes, it can happen. We thought some 40 years ago that Madeline Mary O'Hara, that atheist woman out in Texas, we thought she'd never get prayer out of school. You know, a lot of people said, "Oh, I went to school and prayer in school, and it'll always be prayer in school as long as I'm around." No, you see, it happened to us. It can happen overnight, my friends. We need a good foundation. We need strong leaders. We need people who are firm in what they believe and who will stand upon a solid foundation. I like that song said, "On Christ, a solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." How true that is tonight. Christ is our foundation tonight. He's the solid one. Christ is the one whom we trust and who we believe tonight. You know, Rome was founded up on pleasure, founded up on lust. And what happened to Rome? Rome fell, but America, thank God, was founded up on a good foundation. And I'm not so sure within the next few years what might happen to America. America could fall, my friends. We're headed toward socialism. We're headed away from what our country stands for. You know, one time we were scared of communism a few years back. We said, "Well, communism will take America." Let me tell you something. No outward people like communists, no people who are God haters, no people who are atheists will ever take America as long as America puts God first in our nation. Our nation today is a nation who's gone backward instead of going forward. Our nation is drifting too far from the shore, as the song said. We're getting further and further out into the deep and away from God and away from the gospel and away from the Bible. And all of you have seen that, and you know it more so than I do. But we know today that if we get anywhere, we got to have a good foundation. We got to have something to support us and something that is strong. A Christian life is built upon a good foundation. A Christian life is built upon Jesus Christ. As I said, the solid rock. I like that old song said, "Rock of ages, cleft for me." The rock, you see. Jesus told Peter, "Set upon this rock, I build my church." My friends, it takes a good foundation. The church has got the best foundation of anything in the world tonight. I don't care what kind of organization you bring up tonight or where they come from. There's nothing that will match the organization of the church tonight. The church was organized upon the principles of God, upon the Word of God, and upon the Bible. And nothing tonight can stand against the church as long as the church holds on to the old-fashioned gospel tonight. You notice I said old-fashioned gospel, didn't you? I didn't say modern gospel. I said old-fashioned gospel. I didn't say contemporary gospel. I don't believe in that either, but I do believe in what the book says tonight. I believe in the Word of God, and as long as we stay with that, America will get along. You say, "Is America's foundations crumbling?" Yes, they are. We know they are. We see sin in our nation tonight that we never saw before. And sad to say, we've got more sin in the White House tonight than we've ever had before. Sin has overtaken the White House in this country. And sad to say, sin has overtaken many churches in our country tonight. Oh, we see church doors closing every day. I drove by a church the other day. It used to be a Free Will Baptist church. And I noticed something else on the church side there. The Free Will Baptist sign was gone and something else was on the church sign. So you see, we're losing ground, my friend. Foundations are crumbling. The church is not what it used to be. You say, well, preacher, what's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong. We've left the Holy Spirit out. We thought we can do it ourselves. We don't need God. We don't need the Holy Spirit. We can even run the church without God. I got news for you tonight, my friend. Jesus said, my church, he said, is built up on the solid rock. And he said, my church will stand, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the church is triumphant, my friend. Listen, the church is going to go on till the day when Jesus comes. It might get smaller. I don't know. It looks that way. I see empty buildings along where it closed up, where once had services in them, where the Bible was once preached, where God was visited. And today, we don't see that anymore. No, they've closed the church doors today. Things are different than what it used to be. Why? Because we've left God and the Holy Ghost out of the church today. Yes, the church's foundation is crumbling. America's foundation is crumbling. The nation's foundation is crumbling today. Foundations in our communities are crumbling today. Our individual foundation is crumbling today. But by the help of God, I'd like to mention two things today that a nation has to be built upon in order to stand. Any nation, I don't care who it is, it cannot stand if it's not built up on God Himself. Any nation cannot stand unless it's built up on the Bible, the true Word of God. And I believe that's why God has blessed America to the point that He has, is because we were founded upon the principles of the Bible. In 1620, the pilgrims came to this country because they could not worship in their country, and they departed from it and came to America. Why? Because they were looking for freedom, looking where they could worship God and worship God the way that the Scripture says and according to the dictations of their own heart. So you see, my friends, listen, we've drifted too far from the shore. Our foundations are crumbling piece by piece, whether we realize it or not. Think about it for just a little bit. You know, our home, the foundation has crumbled in the home. Whenever the home falls, when the home falls, the church falls. When the church falls, the community falls. When the community falls, the nation falls. And when the nation falls, what happens? God's going to come back. He's got to, because He said in His Word that He's coming back. He's going to straighten all things out. All things will become new one day after a while when Jesus comes and calls His church out and takes it home. I'm looking for a new place, aren't you? Amen. Amen. I like this world. I'll be honest with you. With all the problems we have, with all the things that's going wrong, all the things I disagree with, And I probably disagree with some things maybe that I shouldn't. But anyway, all the things I disagree with is going to be made right one day after a while. Why? Because Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is coming to help us out and straighten all things out one day after a while. Yes, when the home begins to fall, things go wrong. What about our home? You know, we don't like the word old-fashioned anymore. No, we don't like that word. Oh, I like that. Most people say I like that word modern. I believe in the modern way. Well, I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I still believe in the old-fashioned way myself. Amen. I still believe God is God like He's always been. I believe the Word is the Word like it's always been. And I still believe in the old-fashioned way. I was sort of raised up with nothing. You can tell that, can't you? But anyway... Anyway, we've all seen some hard times, and most of us coming up. I'm 80 years old, and I've seen some times that some of you have never seen, never will see, and I'm glad that you don't. But let me tell you something. Hard times never hurt anybody. Oh, we say, I don't want my children to have to do what I had to do. It won't hurt them. It won't hurt your children to work like you had to work. It won't hurt your children to do without what you had to do. Absolutely not. It didn't hurt mine. But I tell you something, I sort of reneged a little bit on that deal. I didn't want her to have to do it either. So you see, we're human, aren't we? We're human. What about our homes tonight? Oh, I remember when the old-fashioned home was a sacred place. I remember when Holmes had a Bible laying on a table somewhere when you entered into the house, there lay the big Bible all spread out open. And today you don't see that. You enter into a house today and you want to read the scripture, so somebody's got to go hunt the Bible. Like I was visiting one time, I went to this house, knocked on the door, and I heard people scrambling around a little bit. You know, it was all over the place. I went in, there's a little girl there, about 7 or 8 years old, pretty little girl. And she reached down to the floor and picked up a card. I don't know what it was, Ace of Spades or whatever it was. She said, "Preacher, there's plenty more of these under the table here. Said we just hid them before you come." So you see, my friend, the home is not as old-fashioned as we'd like to think. The home is not what it ought to be today. I remember when Dad was king of the house. I remember when Mom was queen of the house. I remember when the kids were the subject of the house. I remember when they had time for the Bible. I remember that big Bible laid out there. Somebody read out of it every now and then. And most people back then read out of it every day. But we don't have that anymore. Oh, we don't have time for Bible reading. We don't have time to go to church anymore. I've talked to people who said, "I don't have time to go to church." Well, I want to tell you something. My friend, you'll take time one of these days to go one time. Amen. In the end, you're going to go one time. Whether you ever went or not, you're going to go. The Bible said that every man's going to stand before God, give an account of everything he's ever done in this life, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Now, I don't know about you, but when I stand before him, I want to hear him say, "Enter in." I don't want to be turned away because of things I didn't do, but I want to enter in because of things I have done. Thank God. "Enter in, thou good and faithful servant," he said. That's what I want to do in the end. I want to enter in. Oh, when we think about the church, we think about homes, think about how it used to be. I can remember we walked about 3 miles to church, had the best time it ever was. Man, us kids would start out the church and families would gather together and we would walk and we would get together. We would play in the creek. We would aggravate one another. We would get dirty. Before we got to church, we looked like we'd been playing baseball or something. Oh, but let me tell you, we had a good time. Then when church was over, we'd come back of a night and we would play all the way back. And we'd had a good time going to church and coming back. Today, people dread to go to church. We used to get everything ready the night before, you know, to go to church. This morning, I couldn't hardly figure out what I wanted to wear. That's a shame. I've got too many clothes. I'm going to give Goodwill some. Amen. I'm going to eliminate that problem. But when I was young, you didn't have any problem with your clothes. You didn't have to worry about your shoes. You only had one pair if you was real lucky. So you didn't have to worry about which pair of shoes you were going to wear. You didn't have to worry about what kind of a coat you were going to wear. You only had one. And I remember my grandfather had an old suit. Man, that thing must have been moth-eaten. It had to be pretty much shred by her because he had it for years. And my grandmother would get that thing out and take it out in the spring of the year with other clothing and other things, and she would hang them out on a line and let them air, and we call that cleaning the suit. You know, getting things ready. We don't do that anymore. God's blessed us so much today. If we need one, we'll go down the store and buy it. We've got a credit card. We can lay the plastic out and get anything we want. We got too much in the day we live in. That's not an old-fashioned home. My friend, that's not an old-fashioned home. We've got too much to give today. What about our children today? Oh, think about our children. You know, when we were growing up, children, you know, they had responsibilities at home. We had something that kept us there. We didn't have time to run all over the country to go to this party and that party, go to this place and that place. We didn't go to the Saturday night dance. Not when I was young. We didn't have all that. Well, they had some, but I didn't go to it. Children in my community didn't go to it. No, we couldn't afford it. We might have went if we'd had some money, but we didn't have enough money to go. I can remember when we barely could get a dime to go to the picture show. Didn't need that, but oh, we thought we had to go. Our children. You know, you think about your children today. It's a sad world we live in today. Children, you know, parents is different than what it once was. Children are raised up different than what we were raised. You know, tonight, a lot of parents don't even know where their children are. Amen. A lot of children, sadder than that, don't even know where their parents are. Their children have gone somewhere to some worldly thing. The parent is off over there at a cow's bar or some hub joint drinking and running around and carousing around and don't even know where the children are. What a sad world we live in today. Tell me our foundation is not crumbling today. Tell me this world is not falling apart. It's falling apart right before our very eyes. It's happening every day. You say, Jim, prayer's left out. Yes, it is. Bible reading's left out. Yes, it is. Our family's no longer gathered together and have family altars. I said this morning, family altar's gone. We don't have it no more. I remember when people used to get together around and they would pray and read the word. They don't do that anymore. Families don't even get together long enough anymore to have a few verses of the scripture read. We're too busy with other things. You know, it's sad when we get too busy with the world. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's not anything wrong with having things. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against people having a good house, a good home. I'm not against people having a good automobile. I'm not against people having good things. If they're working on it, get it honestly, I'm not against it. But I'll tell you what I am against. I'm against the people having too much of the world. And when we get too much of the world, the first thing we know, the world's got us. Amen. And that's happening every day. We see it everywhere on every hand today. We see people getting too much of the world, and pretty soon the world has got the people. That's what's happened to the church world today. That people have drifted too far. As I said this morning, people are drifting too far from the shore, too far out in the world, and the world's engulfed us and taken us in. That's why things are like they are today. That's why our political, all our politicians in our country, the political arena of our country is in such a shape today is because everybody wanted too much of the world. And you know, that's so sad. That's so sad. You say, Jim, is it important in this modern day that we live in, that we have the Bible, that we still go to church? My friends, listen to me. When old Paul and Silas were sitting in the jail at the midnight hour, they were singing praises unto God, and God came on the scene and blessed them. I'm going to tell you something. Singing praises unto God in old-time religion, if it was good for Paul and Silas, it's good for me. Amen. Amen. It's good for the church. Amen. Old-time religion's good for the church. It'll get us back to what we ought to be. You know, we think of old-time religion, you know, we think, well, it's going to make an old fogey out of me. Well, bless God, I'd rather be an old fogey and go to heaven. I would be a new fogey and miss it. Yeah. Oh, what a new fogey is, but it don't make any difference. That's my terminology. Say, Brother Jim, you think all that's important? Yes, it is. It's important that you build up on a solid rock tonight. It's important that your foundation is solid. It's important that it stands when the storms of life come. When Satan comes and brings his enemies to your house, your foundation better be solid. You better be on a solid rock. Oh, there's so much in the world today. As I say, the parents don't know where the kids are. The kids don't know where the parents are. Oh, there's so many outside activities today. You know, we find people, as I said, are always going to this party or that party. I've talked to people who said, oh, preacher, all I like to do is party. That's the first thing on my mind, and I like that better than anything. Well, get all of it you can get here because there won't be none on the other side. Amen. Anybody ever hear old Brother Aker preach? Old Baptist preacher. I heard him preach. I heard him preach when he was 90-some years old. I heard him preach when he was 100 years old. And I heard him preach when he was 104 years old. And he died at 105. And you know what he said? He said, all of this sin that people do here, said they better do it while they're here because when you get to heaven, said, you ain't going to have none. how true that is. You know, we think of things in this life, what a good life it is. And it is a good life if we make it good. But it's not good if we don't make it good. The devil don't want you to have anything good. He don't want you to have a good life. And you know, a lot of things that grieves my heart. I pick up a newspaper, and I read in that newspaper where so-and-so died. And he was a member of this club and this organization and that organization, but it doesn't say a thing about him being a member of the church. Now, brother, that tells me something. That tells me where his destiny is. That tells me where he's gone. That tells me I ain't going to see him no more. He's gone. That's sad, isn't it? But it is the truth. God help us tonight to spend more time in prayer, more time in the Bible. You know, another foundation we've lost that's crumbled in this modern day society we live in, we have lost the Sabbath day. We've come to the place that the foundation has crumbled so bad that the Sabbath day is like this. It's just a rock and ready to fall. Say, preacher, what do you mean? I can remember when the Sabbath day was one of the best days of the week. I remember when those old-fashioned people, like my grandfather, my wife's family, some of them, I can remember when they respected the Sabbath day. I remember when my grandmother fixed dinner for Sunday, a lot of it on Saturday. And we would eat and go to church, and she would pull a big white cloth over the table. And when we come back, she would remove that big white cloth. She would prepare dinner. Most of it was already prepared now. And we would eat. We don't see that anymore. We go down here to the restaurant and fuss and grumble and complain because we got to stand in line 35, 40 minutes before we can get our order in. We can't tell the waiter what we want because we're standing in line fussing so long, trying to get up front to get something done. It didn't used to be like that. It don't have to be like that today. We've made it like that. Remember the Sabbath, the scripture said in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. God set the Sabbath day aside. The scripture said that God made the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he went down to the Golden Corral and ate lunch. No, it said on the seventh day, he rested from all his labors. So what is the Sabbath day to be? It's to be a day of worship and a day of rest. A day that we come and praise God and thank God and give him thanks for what he has done. That's what the Sabbath day is. One time two fellows was out fishing on the Sabbath day, on Sunday. And one of them said to the other, and said, do you know something? He said, I see something on this river I haven't seen before. The other one said to him, said, what is it? He said, see that factory up there? See that big smokestack up in the air? He said, there's no smoke coming from it. Said, the air is clean. Said, don't you breathe better out here today? He said, sure, today's Sunday and the factory shut down. Not true today, is it? No, no, no. We've got so many gullible people in this world, and if we could run that factory 8 days a week, we would do it. Oh, I tell you, getting quiet in here. Amen. Yeah, we would shut everything down. We wouldn't shut nothing down. Too greedy. Everybody's got too greedy in this country. What about sports? Hey, Sunday's the greatest day of sports that we've got. Didn't used to be that way. It didn't used to be like that. But today, the bigger games, the games that bring in the most money, the biggest sport events that we have today are on Sunday. Drawing people away from church out to the ball game. I don't blame the ball game. I blame the people. Amen. Amen. You don't have to give up your worship to go to a ball game. Absolutely not. But people are doing it. Why? Because the world is headed that way today. Oh, I can remember when people would go visit one another on Sunday. Now they won't visit one another at all. My brother-in-law, we just had his funeral a couple of weeks ago. He said, I retired until I meet people I work with and said they don't even have time to talk to you. We live in a busy, busy world, don't we? A busy, busy world. You know, we let the dust of the world get into our eyes and blind us. Takes us away from the things of God. There's so many excuses today why people won't attend the house of God. I was visiting with a guy one time in California. He was into the church that I attended then on a building fund campaign thing, raising money. I didn't agree with it, but I got in, suckered in on it anyway. But anyhow, we was visiting. And somebody told him, said, I'm not going to give that old church any money. Said they don't have anything anymore. Said they used to be a spiritual church. Said they used to shout. Said they used to run the aisles down there and praise God. And you know what that guy said? I like what he said. He said, if you go down and get saved, said you might bring the church back to it. Amen. You ever think about it? It might be me that's blocking it. May not be somebody else. Nonetheless, we're moving at a slow pace, aren't we? Seems like the church is getting farther and farther behind. How sad it is. Some people say, I worked all week and I need Sunday to rest. I've heard that excuse time after time after time. And go by later on that evening, you see them out splitting wood or something. See them mowing the yard. They ain't getting no rest doing that. That's hard work. Amen. You know, God give us 6 days to work. 6 days to do what we need to do. You know what a consecrated Christian would say? A consecrated Christian would say, I need to rest today. I need to rest so I can do my work this week. That's what a consecrated Christian would say. A consecrated Christian would say, I need the help, the strength that comes from the service of my church. I don't know about you, but ever since I've been saved, 51 years, it's October 22nd, I've always been a church person. I've always attended church. I've even got out of bed and went to preach when I wasn't able. Not because I had to, but because I wanted to. And I'm going to tell you, we don't get to the point that we can't worship God because we don't feel like it. If you're going by feeling, you ain't going to get nowhere. You might as well stop now. We're going to go because God calls us to go. Crumbling foundations. America's life is crumbling today. God's holy days become man's holiday. As I said, the greatest sport events we have is on Sunday. And you know something? People tell you, well, that ain't wrong. It's not wrong for me to do this on Sunday, go here on Sunday, lay out a church. And not. It is wrong. The Bible said not forsaking the assembling themselves together in Hebrews 10:25. The Bible said, Paul said that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. What was he talking? He said, come together and worship God. You know, we live in a day where the church has let up. The church doesn't preach the word like it used to. Not too many years ago, and several years ago too, back in my hometown, they ordained a gentleman, and I said gentleman, I didn't say brother. Now, you got that, didn't you? He wasn't my brother because he didn't believe the Bible. But anyway, they ordained a gentleman into the church that said he did not believe in the literal resurrection of Jesus Christ. If he didn't believe in that, what do you believe in? Everything in the church is based upon the resurrection of Jesus. Everything. Oh, in the olden days, men lived by the Bible. Today, you know, the Bible, as I said, is cast aside. Men don't live by the Bible as they used to. Men live the way they want to. We've got into a materialistic world. Everything's all right. Nothing's simple anymore. If it feels good, do it. If you like it, stay with it. That's sort of the philosophy of the day. But I'm going to tell you something, my friend. That's not the biblical way. The man they ordained, and I said a few years back, in an old line church, said he didn't believe in the literal resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, we've got unknown people today in pulpits and churches who are not preaching all of the Word of God. They tickle ears. Oh, we've got ear ticklers all over the country today. You ever see people going around just feeling good? We've got those kind of churches. We've got those kind of preachers. But I'm going to tell you something, my friend. There comes a time we're going to give an account of all of this. We're going to stand before God, and God's going to bring it to our attention. What did you do with my word? What did you do with it? How are we going to answer him? You know something? We cannot deny the Bible. The Bible is the truth. And I don't know about you, but I hope and pray that you believe every word in it, because it's God's word. Now, we've got people today who say, well, the Bible's infallible. How many of you saw the newspaper? I've got it with me. I can back up my story. How many of you saw the newspaper where the Pope said that there needs to be a change in the Lord's Prayer? The Pope said, and I repeat, Pope Francis said these words. He said that the part of the Lord's Prayer that says, lead us not into temptation, needs to be revised. Who is he to say the Lord's Prayer needs to be changed? He is just a man hiding behind the largest denominational church in all the world. Now listen to me. You say, well, that's not going to happen. I would have never thought I would have picked up an authorized version of the Bible 30, 40 years ago. I would have never thought this living Bible would have been on the market a few years ago. I would have never thought it, but look what we got. All of this amplified, living Bible, all these Bibles have been changed to suit man because somebody wanted to change. You live long enough, and you probably won't, and I probably won't, but if the Catholic Church gets its way, this will be gone out of the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not in temptation. Now I know where he's coming from. He's saying the Lord don't lead you into temptation. And that's right. He doesn't. But he warns us against temptation by stating it in the Lord's Prayer. And it does not, and I say respectfully, it does not need to be changed. Amen. The Lord's Prayer is good enough for God to allow it to be printed in his word. It's good enough for me to live by. And I'm thankful for it tonight. You say, is our foundations crumbling? Yes, our foundations are crumbling. We're sliding back instead of going forward. And how sad it is. My prayer tonight is, hold on to God. Hold on to God. Seek God. You know, we need to examine our lives, church. Everybody needs to examine yourself. See how we're living. Are we living by the teachings of the Word of God? You know what Matthew 6:33 said? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We find in 1 Thessalonians 5:22 said, abstain from all appearance of evil. Are we doing that? 4:32 said, be kind one to another, forgive one another. How many times have we heard people say, I'm not going to forgive that person. I'm going to forgive them, but I ain't going to forget it. My friend, listen, that's the wrong attitude. The wrong attitude. The right attitude is forgive and forget and move on for Jesus. How does our life measure up to the teachings of the Bible? Every good thing in the nation tonight, every good thing in America tonight came from this book. Our laws was founded up on it. In God We Trust on our money came from this. And everything that America has tonight, good, came from God. The Bible said that all good gifts cometh down from the Father of light. God gives the good gifts. And everything that we have is good tonight. Our nation can be better than what it is. It's a good nation, but it can be a better nation. Churches can be better tonight than what they are. And let me get right down on the bottom line. Christians can be better than what they are. Amen. That includes me. That includes you. That includes us all. Yes, we live in a dangerous society. Our foundations are crumbling. And we live in a very, very dangerous time. We live in crucial times. We live in critical times because of the loose, crumbling foundations that we are built up on and what we're depending on. But I want to tell you one thing. Jesus Christ is the rock tonight. Jesus Christ is the true foundation tonight. If your life's based on anything other than Jesus Christ, it's based on the wrong thing, and it will not stand. My prayer is, God bless you. May He bless you and keep you. And if the foundation needs repaired, there's a way to do it. And that is an altar of prayer. Trust in Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus Christ. And I tell you, we'll get along a lot better than what we have. May God bless you tonight.